are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, you know the number for that. You can also watch us on Twitch, all of those things. And if you miss the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. Pretty sportsy at first. And then we got on to Rich v. Poor and some other things in that last hour. So fun 2 hours, all available on podcastarena.com. And there's a couple things that I wanted to get to. But guess what? We got something more important than that. Brad Powers is here. You can follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7, lead college football and college basketball analyst for pregame.com. Brad, how's it going, man?
It's going well. How are you guys doing on this Thursday?
Hanging in there, my man. Hanging in there. I've been I've been enjoying the college hoops getting started up, and obviously we're deep into college football, so I know it's a busy time of year for you.
I'm going to ask you, AJ, because maybe I need some of your time management. How do you handle the home life? Because I don't even have much of a home life. Let's just put, I put all my cards on the table. How do you handle that? You got your radio show. I mean, you're also the director, right?
Yep.
There, so you're handling that. And then you're handicapping college football, and you have time to handicap all the college basketball, too?
Team no sleep, Brad.
I guess, man.
That's what, that's what I was telling Fred.
Hey, kudos to you, man, because a lot of people have been asking me about college basketball, and my answer is, hey, we got a couple weeks left here of the college football season. I'll start really attacking college basketball in just a couple weeks. I got to sleep sometime, and by sleep I mean maybe a nap or two.
Well, for me, it's a little bit easier for me because I traditionally have done better on college basketball than football. So once basketball starts up, my priority switches from college football to college basketball.
Good point. Hey, you're having a great season. So I mean, maybe the positivity's there. And it just keeps you going where, you know, I'm just perfectly lit cards on the table. My season hasn't been great, especially on the college football side. So maybe it's kind of more like pulling teeth for me.
Well, it's got to pick up at some point, Brad. And why not this week, my man? It seems like as good a week as any to get it started, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's get into the card. And obviously the one that everyone is talking about, the game of probably the game of the year so far is Alabama and LSU. And this is a game that, obviously, there's a lot at stake, but we still don't really know all the information that you want to know. We don't know what Tua is really. And to me, the number says Tua is probably going to play, but is probably not 100%. Is that kind of what you're gathering from it?
I am. So I'm going to give you, before I even break down the game, my best advice I could give you for this one. Obviously, it's AP number one versus AP number two. Everybody's going to watch it. A lot of people are going to want action on it. I would say that, to me, there's going to be a lot more value in the other 45 games that are being played on Saturday, particularly Sun Belt, MAC, Conference USA games. Just because you're going to be watching doesn't necessarily need to have action on it. But if you do, in this case, I think waiting until, usually I say bet as early as you're comfortable with, and a lot of times I'm betting like on Sunday for the upcoming Saturday games because I'm comfortable with my power ratings. But in this instance, I'd like to see pregame warmups. Let's see Tua actually on the field running around. Let's see a couple of those LSU secondary guys running around in the secondary because they're going to be having to run around to cover the Alabama wide receivers. I'm going to wait until I get the latest information because I want to bet Alabama here. I think the number's a little short.
Well, if you do want to bet Alabama, don't you consider maybe doing it early because you don't want to let it get over that 7?
That's a good call there. But 7's a very key number. And 95% of the time I'm going to say, hey, get in front of it now. But to me, 2 is worth 7 points. And,
right.
And I won't worry so much about that half point if I physically see how he is. I mean, is he limping? Because all the practice reports are pretty good now, but, I mean, it is Nick Saban. It could be just lip service.
Well, what I've been looking at with this game is the total. And to me, you look at two defenses that I think have had really the luxury of not seeing elite offenses yet. Particularly Alabama hasn't really seen an elite offense yet. And the one time that LSU saw an elite offense in Texas, they did elite offensive things against them. I think this has the makings of a shootout game. And it's obviously a big total at 63, especially a big total for this this matchup historically. But I feel like this is a different LSU team than we've seen in a long time and a different Alabama team. And even if Tua doesn't play, you've got a quartet of wide receivers that – I mean, it's going to be almost impossible for LSU to cover all of them. I think this thing could get way up there in the points. What do you think of the total?
Yeah, and it's interesting because the money's coming in on the under because it's dropped already a couple points since the start of the week. This is going to maybe sound, sharp square because, square, they're not even going to do the research for the most part. But, looking at the last 14 times these two have played, the average totals line has been 45. Average score, 24-9, 33. So it's gone under by 12 points per game compared to expectation here recently. It's just tough. I mean, obviously, there's been a fundamental change in Alabama that's kind of been happening over the last couple of years. And this year specifically, there's been a fundamental change for the LSU offense. I'll say this. I think if you want to bet the over, wait a little bit. And by wait, I'm not necessarily saying game day. I think a lot of the sharp square guys usually like to bet on Thursdays and Fridays as the limits opened up, and that's where we've seen the total creeping down. I would bet this one on Friday night, bet it over, because obviously when the public gets involved on Saturday on game day, they're going to say, hey, Alabama's offense is great, LSU's offense is great, let's go over. So to me, that's that price that I think you'll find at the cheapest is Friday night.
Looking at the rankings that have just come out, and Clemson ends up fifth in the rankings, which I think they probably sort of realize that, fifth in the rankings right now doesn't mean a whole lot. But what I think is with this Clemson team, I could see them being salty about that.
Oh, yeah.
And just watching them play recently, it seems like their offense has really started to pick it up. The defense was there all along. The offense has really started to pick up their end of the bargain here. And I know it's a crazy number, but I would not want to be North Carolina State right now, a team who's really not been very good themselves. I think they're walking into a firestorm here. What do you think of that game?
I am actually with you. And boy, if you'd have told me before the season, the defending national champs, Clemson, still be unbeaten in November, would you want to play on them or against them? I would think, well, you're going to be paying a premium. They're defending champs. They're still unbeaten. I'd prefer to fade Clemson. It's the opposite. I think that number five ranking will have them motivated. If there's one coach in college football right now that likes to play the disrespect card, the underdog role, it's Dabo Swinney, and Clemson's pretty much mauled the ACC over the last couple of years. They've won 16 straight over the ACC, 14-2 against the spread, covering by 10 points per game. I think they'll be motivated. I think they blow out NC State. I would lay the 32.5.
All right, well, let's take craziness to another level, because Ohio State is giving 43.5, and I'll be honest, I'm thinking of taking Ohio State, and that crazy number makes me wonder what the number will be next week when Ohio State plays Rutgers. I mean, this Ohio State team they're not afraid to go out and embarrass people, and they are doing just that. What do you think of the big number this week, and what do you have the number at for Ohio State and Rutgers a week from now?
Great point. Number one, let's put this line in historical perspective. This line right now of Ohio State, a 43.5 point favorite over Maryland, is the largest point spread in a Big Ten game as far back as the database goes. 40 years. This is the biggest spread. And I can't imagine a bigger one, because totals in college football in 1980 were basically 40, 45. So to me, I mean, you're starting to see some pricing with Ohio State that says, hey, maybe they're not historically great, but they're certainly, in my opinion, I think everyone's opinion now, or at least more people are coming around to it, Ohio State's the best team in the country. And against the spread margin so far this year, this is unbelievable. Ohio State's number one. 17.5 points per game is their average over the ATS. So they've covered their games by 17.5 points per game, number one in the country for a very public Ohio State team. And that's not slowing down. It's not like the numbers have dropped off the last couple games. They've been right around in that same ballpark against Northwestern and Wisconsin. And look, listen to the spot here. They're off a bye. They have Rutgers, like you mentioned, on deck, and I'll get that spread here in just in a second. And they almost lost to Maryland last year. So I think they're actually focused off a bye. Rutgers on deck, almost lost to Maryland a year ago. I would lean with Ohio State. And next week's spread, oh, my goodness, because keep in mind, Maryland beat Rutgers by 40.
Yeah.
So
it's got to be in the 50s, right?
Yeah, it's going to be in the 50s. I'm expecting it probably to be in that 52 to 56 range.
Wow.
That's like Alabama versus FCS school range.
Well, yeah. obviously, it'll be the biggest point spread in any conference game in at least 16 years. And we'll see. I mean, if it gets, you know, in that 55, 56 range, we're talking one of the biggest point spreads in a conference game we've ever seen in college football.
That's unbelievable to me. Well, I've had a couple strong, firm philosophies this college football season. One has been fade Akron, and that is an undefeated, tried and true method. Vegas can't figure out how bad they are, and unfortunately, they're on bye this week. So I've got to go to my other things. Fade UMass, which has only lost once, and that was to Akron. And I don't believe betting service academies with as huge favorites, and I want to play service academies when they're double-digit dogs or better, because they don't tend to play in these blowout fashion games. So now I'm looking at Army minus 35. My instant reaction is, oh, got to fade that. There's no way Army's getting 35 points on somebody, but I look across the screen and it's UMass. So which one of my philosophies will come through this week, the Army or the Minutemen fade? What do you say on that?
Why not go over?
That's a good. Well, but is UMass going to score? I don't know. I don't know, Brad.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I'm passing. You know, it's right on my power rating. And let's put this one in historical perspective. This is the biggest favorite role for Army over an FBS opponent. I'll put FBS in quotations with UMass this year. But it's the biggest favorite role for Army in at least 40 years. As far back as the database goes, I mean, I've never had a team power rated lower than UMass. I even had them below Akron. I know Akron lost to UMass, but in that game, Akron was laying like a touchdown on the road. I can't lay 35 with Army because, I mean, let's face it, guys. I don't think it's getting enough publicity, but Army has, if you had to stack rank most disappointing teams in the country this year, on anybody that's really knowledgeable's list, Army being easily in the top five.
Yeah, they're up there, certainly.
I mean, season win total got bet up to 10. This is a team that might not make a bowl game.
Yeah. Yep. One of the games that I just on the surface really like, I wanted to grab your thoughts on it. And I know you had, I think last week on our show, you talked about BYU. You liked BYU last week. And I kind of like BYU this week. And mostly it's a Liberty fade. And Liberty's coming off a big win against, guess who? UMass. But people forget the week before that, they lost to Rutgers. And when you're stack ranking the worst teams in football, Rutgers is near, they're near mm-hmm. the bottom there. And they got beat by 10 points by Rutgers. I feel like Liberty going into BYU, this is another level of competition that they really haven't seen so far this year. I think BYU could manhandle these guys. What do you think of that matchup?
I don't like BYU. I love BYU. This is one of my favorite handicaps of the year. I mean, they haven't necessarily worked out so well this year. But I like this on multitude of fronts. And you've touched on a couple of them. Let's look at Liberty. Liberty, I just look at my power rings. Liberty hasn't played a top 100 team since September 14th. Haven't played a single team in the top 100. So they've been messing around with bottom dweller teams in the last couple of months, including a couple of FCS teams. And when they did step up, I'd argue that you mentioned it. Their toughest game in that stretch, they're on the road against Rutgers. They lose the game outright as a touchdown favorite. On the complete opposite side is BYU. They're taking a huge step down in class here. BYU's first four home games, all against ranked teams. Utah, USC, Washington, and Boise State, all four of those were ranked at the time BYU hosted them, and now you're playing Liberty. And here's finally, I digged a little bit, and there are actually two more points here. One is BYU in the month of November, really good the last decade. They're 23-9 against the spread here in the last decade. And here's what's happened. When BYU has moved to independent status, their schedules are always front-loaded. They're always playing the Utahs, the Washingtons, the USCs of the world early in the season. And therefore, BYU's records, kind of mediocre because they played a bunch of tough teams. Their stats say they're mediocre. But when November rolls around, who wants to play BYU in November? It's only teams like Liberty and UMass and whatnot can play BYU in November. And BYU's undervalued, and they crush these teams. And also, BYU, remember, with these two-year missions, we're talking 21, 22, 23-year-old kids. Who's going to be able to handle the grind of a football schedule better than, you know, BYU, who are men instead of young boys in this instance? And Liberty, third straight road game in altitude across the country. Add it all up. My favorite bet of the year so far.
Oh, boy.
BYU.
I think he feels you can move on this game as if it's already been played.
I touched the nerve with that one. I like it. That's that's good to hear. Are there any other games in the major conferences that jump out to you? And I guess I'll ask you about one of the teams close to here in Texas. They feel like their season is kind of on the brink. And if they lose this game, it seems like it could be a really downward spiral for them, or at least they'd be going down a downward spiral. Whereas if they win, it seems like maybe they've still got some time to turn this thing around. Kansas State's getting a lot of love right now, but it seems like a good spot for the Longhorns. What do you think with the Texas giving up 7 points here?
Yeah, I mean, I wish it was under seven and was early in the week. I think some of the sharper guys are all over this one. I mean, I think 10, 15 years ago, this line's not seven. I'm a little disappointed in that. I not only like the spot for Texas coming off a bye, catching Kansas State off a couple of all-in type of efforts against, you know, obviously their in-state rival Kansas last week in the big upset over Oklahoma. But Texas fundamentally getting four or five key players back, including Stearns at defensive back, Overshown at defensive back, B.J. Foster at safety, linebackers back, running backs back. And, you know, that game, let me play on Sam Ehlinger, all that narrative that Earl Campbell was throwing out in the media last week. And more importantly for me, Ehlinger off his worst game of his career. He throws four picks against TCU 2 weeks ago. Keep in mind, Ehlinger had only thrown eight interceptions in the previous 21 games combined. Yeah, I'm on the Longhorns here, but I wish it was, you know, obviously 4.5, 5, 6, 6.5 instead of 7.
Another game in the area, Baylor at TCU -3. Baylor, TCU's got quarterback issues. If their starter can't go, I think they're down to a homeless dude. How do you see this one?
Yeah, other than that factor, I think it would have really set up well for TCU here. I mean, they've owned Baylor since TCU's joined the Big 12. I think Baylor's playing now with some unbeaten pressure. It certainly looked like that was the case last week against West Virginia, where that game came down on the wire. It's all about the injuries. And obviously you had Alex Delton leave the team this week. You had not one but two quarterbacks get hurt at the end of the Oklahoma State game. Gary Patterson's been pretty tight-lipped throughout the media this week. Yeah, I really like TCU, Seahawks, Freudian slip, BYU. It's on my mind. Really like TCU early in the week, but I can't bet them until I get further clearance on the injuries of the quarterbacks.
You know, a team that's kind of escaped. Well, I don't know how much if they're escaping criticism because I don't follow the team as closely as probably you do or as some people do. But I feel like Arkansas is quietly having a disastrous season, like almost a Rutgers level season, and no one seems to be noticing. And there's not Florida State fires their head coach. Meanwhile, Chad Morris is still walking around making basically the same money that Willie Taggart was making and putting up less of a fight. And this number comes out with Western Kentucky getting points. And I said, if there's a plus by them, I'm going to have to look at them seriously.
Oh, wow.
And I really think this Arkansas team has just completely rolled over. And I thought Mississippi State was bad. I almost considered playing Arkansas against Mississippi State. Thank God I didn't, because Mississippi State beat them by 30, which tells me there's no fight left in this Arkansas team. And I'd argue that Western Kentucky they've beaten teams like Army that I would consider are on that level of Arkansas. What do you think of Arkansas right now? And do you think that I'm crazy for looking at them as quitters?
Yeah, I don't think you are. Now, the only thing would be that they're making a quarterback change to, Jerry Jones' grandson?
They've tried all these quarterbacks. None of them have worked. This is a Chad Morris problem.
I think it's the fact that they're only laying 1.5. Arkansas, an SEC team, is only laying 1.5 against a Conference USA team. And we're not talking about the Conference USA favorites. We're talking about
a middle
of the road Western Kentucky team. I bet Western Kentucky last week. Now, I mean, -4 in turnovers didn't help them, but it's not like this is a Jeff Brohm Western Kentucky team that's going to win 11 games. And, I mean, Morris has been prone to lose these games. Got crushed by North Texas last year. Lost to San Jose State this year. Yeah, I mean, normally I think the market's getting too cute sometimes with these short spreads. I mean, say it out loud. SEC versus Conference USA, 1.5 at home. Come on. But I hear you on the quitting and the market's fading, Arkansas. No bet for me.
All right, that's Brad Powers. You can follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Joins us every Thursday. Lead college football and college basketball analyst for pregame.com.
Hey, I wanted to ask you one more thing, Brad, about these rankings that came out. Because I said yesterday, and I, as soon as I said it, I thought maybe I was being a little overzealous. But I said I would have Clemson by double digits over Penn State on a neutral. And I know you keep better power rankings than I do. Do you think that's close to accurate?
Yeah, I'd have it 10.
Okay, then I wasn't
so out of number line. 5, 10, over, 10 points better than number 4. I think Clemson's, people are forgetting about them. And I'll tell you who's not forgetting it, who's going to be very motivated with the number 5 next to their name, Dabo Swinney and company. Clemson's going to be very dangerous down the stretch.
I really think people have downgraded Clemson significantly based on that one game, the North Carolina game. And they got so scared off by that. And I still think this Clemson, especially defensively, this Clemson team is as good as anybody. And in a year where, LSU and Alabama, they look like they're okay or not okay defensively.
That's a strong point.
I think this Clemson team is getting way overlooked. And I think if you're betting them like they played against North Carolina, I think you're going to be making a mistake. Because most teams, and Ohio State hasn't had it, but everybody else has had a game where they're, they don't look their best. And Clemson certainly didn't look their best there. But they've turned that thing around since then. I think that was a wake-up call. And I think they're going to be salty about this. And I think come playoff time, that's still a dangerous team.
Yeah, and I mean, if you've been fading Clemson, you haven't won any money. I mean, Clemson's 6-3 against the number this year. And they're actually 2 field goals away from being 8-1. But yet everyone's talking about that one really bad game. To me, let's talk about the other 8 games. And 6 of them have been really good looks and a couple field goals away from being 8-1. You're defending national champs and you could be 8-1 against the spread. How could you have downgraded Clemson so much? I haven't. I got them flat since the start of the season.
All right, Brad, appreciate the time as always, man. And good luck this weekend. And hopefully we'll get a few minutes with you tomorrow as well.
All right. Hey, guys, sounds good.
All right. That's Brad Powers at Brad Powers 7. Follow him on pregame.com. Get all his premium plays there. All right. I got to tell you guys about my computer career. If you're doing a job that you don't love, why are you still doing that job? Well, if you're not making enough money, you hate your boss, why are you waiting around? Why aren't you making a change? Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take their free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. And you don't need computer experience. You don't need training. They do it all. They teach you from the ground up. That's what they do. You'll attend classes on campus or online just twice a week. You're going to get everything you need, and it's more than a school because after you graduate, they're going to help you get a job. They work with employers that hire their students. Guys, they're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify. What are you waiting for? Go take that free career evaluation today. Classes are starting soon. Mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. Mycomputercareer.edu.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And sorry about this working man, but we're going to do a little more gambling here. As we all go right. to Rafael Esparza, who's a former Las Vegas sportsbook director. He's at mybookie.com. You can follow him on Twitter at VSIDocSports. Rafael, how are you, man?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Fantastic. Let's start with a little NFL action tonight. Where are you leaning in this game?
Well, I'm leaning towards the Raiders on this, but I just like the way they've been playing, covering 5 out of 8. The betting public's all over the Chargers, which I don't understand why. Maybe because I know they won back-to-back games, but I'm not giving that much credit with the Green Bay. I just think Green Bay were reading their headlines and didn't play that well. Give me the Raiders on this, but you know, this spot could, maybe a couple years ago, this spot could have been London Chargers versus Mexico City Raiders. That would have been a great head spot.
Yeah, let's turn to the Sunday games. And I think, I want to ask you before we get that Monday night game. 49ers are 6.5 against the Seahawks. And I'm kind of tired of betting against the 49ers because it doesn't work out. But doesn't this feel like a spot where if they're going to get beat, the Seahawks are the team to do it?
Yeah, Russell Wilson, I mean, his experience at quarterback could be that one that gives them their first loss. I think it's going to be a close battle game. I like the under in this spot, even though the Seahawks defense is bad. But I think the 49ers defense is going to be able to control Russell Wilson. I mean, they had to go through a younger Russell Wilson last week, so maybe just watch the tape and figure out something different. I like San Francisco to win, but I think Seattle covers. Give me the +6.5.
All right, I'm going to give you 3 games with big spreads. You tell me which one you like the dog best in. Colts -11 against the Dolphins, Ravens -10 against the Bengals, or the Saints -13.5 against the Falcons.
I like the Saints because let's face it, they're not only the Falcons 1-7, they're 2-6 against the spread. Saints coming off a bye week, they're getting Kamara back. If they win this game by a field goal, they deserve to get a half a loss on that record.
Yeah, the Falcons have just been a mess. What about the Bengals at home getting 10 against the Ravens? To me, it feels like a spot where you should bet the Bengals, but they're so bad. It's almost like you have to hold your nose if you're going to take them here.
Yeah, it is. They're pretty bad. But you know, the last game that the Bengals covered was against the Ravens on the road, and then Baltimore was 10.5 point favorite, and he only won 23-17. I agree with you. The Bengals are pretty bad. I think Baltimore wins, and it wouldn't be shocking if they cover this game.
All right, one more to ask you about. Cowboys 3-point favorites at home against the Vikings. How do you see this one going?
It's Zeke and that offensive line can run the ball. Then I think Prescott will be able to hit the tight ends in the second half. Then I think they win. If they can't run the ball early, Kirk Cousins can put some big points against that Cowboys defense. I like Cowboys small here, but that's because I think Zeke and that offensive line will be able to push around the Vikings.
All right, that's Rafael Esparza. Follow him on Twitter at VSI Doc Sports and get on MyBookie and make those plays. Rafael, appreciate the time, sir.
Take it easy. Have a great evening.
You too. Talk to you next week. All right, a couple of things. A texter asks, any must-see places for a first-time visit to New Orleans? I'm staying down the block from Avenue Pub, so that's a given. Basically planning on eating and drinking across the city. My thing is, we always, when we first get there, we'll do the Bourbon Street thing for like a half a night. And there's just so many better places around the city to go than Bourbon Street. Like, I like to go to Frenchman Street and the Garden District. And I know you go all over the place there, too.
Yeah, I love Giacomo's.
It's really good.
It's one of my favorite restaurants in the whole world. It's badass. I'm not really a Bourbon Street guy, though, mostly because I'm a grown man.
Me either.
And I'm married. Like, it's just not. If I were in college and single, it'd be totally different. But there is. I always tell people the Lafitte's Blacksmith Shop is worth a visit. It just because it's like a historical building, one of the oldest bars in the country. And it's at the very, very end of Bourbon Street, so it's away from kind of all the hubbub. But it's a pretty cool spot. There's lots of cool
late
places.
Late at night, if you're on Bourbon Street, the Dungeon. That opens after midnight. It's one of my favorite places.
I bet it is.
Is that
like the cockpit?
No. it's just a bar that doesn't open till midnight, and it's all dark with blue lights, and people can't see how ugly you are. So I like it, but I don't spend a lot of time on Bourbon Street or in the French Quarter. It's just you need to, if it's your first time, you know, go do the Pat O'Brien's Hurricane thing and do the touristy bit. But there's some really cool places around the city that you...
Or just spend 24-7 at Avenue Pub because they're open that all the time. So just don't leave. Yeah,
there is that. You probably want to get over to the casino at some point.
Eh, whatever.
Which is, you know, very close to the quarter. So
there's better casinos. There's better casinos between New Orleans and Houston than...
Yeah, but if you're
the Harris,
if you're there, yeah. Okay.
I'd enjoy New Orleans and then go gamble on your way back.
Well, I like the poker room there. They've got some pretty, they got some decent tournaments, and that's all I really care about.
Yeah.
All right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. And yeah, I know he texted that out a long time ago, but we've had people on, so.
Yeah, we're busy. Yeah. Sorry, bro.
Yeah, we did the best we could. do you see this story about the German couple that got kicked off a cruise ship for having sex too loud?
No.
That's what they claim, and they filed a lawsuit against the cruise line. Said they
what? You can't have loud sex anymore?
Apparently not. They said they were booted off the ship for their very boisterous lovemaking. Under orders of the captain, they had to be removed from the ship after complaints from passengers.
Man, let those people live. Kind of, was it like a kiddie cruise?
No. But hey, apparently they were were stranded in Barbados with their luggage. Ugh. Of course, there's worse places to be stranded.
True.
Yeah, and you can probably have all the loud sex you want in Barbados.
That's true. There's no laws against it there.
But yeah, they're filing a lawsuit there.
All right, guys, I got to tell you about Allstate Siding and Windows, and I want to remind you to check your windows now for leaks before the winter chill sets in, which apparently is supposed to set in tomorrow. It's going to be a little chilly. I guess probably a little chilly today. I haven't been outside all day, so I don't really know. But for 48 years, Allstate Siding and Windows has been helping people save up to 40% on their electric bills by installing the best quality windows and sidings. You can get 25% knocked off your window package in November. No payments for 2 years. They're family owned and operated for over 45 years. You know they're going to be there when you need them. Military discounts, senior discounts, first responder discounts. They've got you covered. If you want the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. Give them a call, 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936, or you can check them out online at allstatesidingandwindows.com. When you want the best rate, call Allstate. Allstate Siding and Windows. Make your mama sad type. Make your girlfriend mad type. Might seduce your dad type. All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about TGS Insurance. And if you own your home, listen up. This is an easy way to save some money. And if you're anything like me, you don't want to deal with talking to somebody on the phone. You don't want to deal with an agent. You want things to be fast and simple, and you want to save, you want to get a good rate. And that's what TGS is all about. They've built a system that gives you a firm quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but your address, and you never have to talk to anybody. All you got to do is send a text. Text the word money to 232323. The system will ask for your address. You reply back. They're going to send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. Maybe you'll save money. Maybe you won't. The average customer this year is saving $870. Some people are saving a lot more. That means some people will save a little less. That's okay. Maybe you won't save money. It's worth a look because it's so simple. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Start saving today with TGS Insurance.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN975 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. One segment to go. Panthers up 2-1 after one.
Nice. My,
little bet there. All right, we got Hoffman on Hollywood?
Yeah, if I can get it pulled up here. You actually did. You took a couple of my stories from Hoffman on Hollywood, but I forgive you because you're a gentleman.
Which one did I take?
I forgot. It was one of the superhero things.
Ah.
But it doesn't matter. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, we recently discussed the nominees. Well, the inductees have arrived, Fred. Are you ready?
I am.
The Cure. For or against?
Nah.
Okay.
Not with all the names that were on there, no.
Def Leppard.
Eh.
Janet Jackson.
Eh.
Stevie Nicks.
Okay.
Radiohead.
Nah.
Roxy Music.
Ugh.
The Zombies.
That's a pretty crappy list, I gotta say.
Not the best class. I think like they're treating The Cure like the headliners, which I think Radiohead is a great band, and they've been doing it for a long time. But
yeah, I'm just not a fan.
There's just not a lot of substance to that group, and like
there was some really
Janet
good
Jackson's
bands.
A superstar, but rock and roll, okay.
Ever tell you my Janet Jackson at the Derby story?
No.
I was on an elevator.
Oh, come on.
And, no, it wasn't that good.
Oh.
It was just, but basically her bodyguard comes up and asks me to get off the elevator so she can get on it. And I'm like, hell no. if she wants to ride up on this elevator, she can get on it. You can get on it with her. And so she reluctantly got on the elevator and went up. But she did not want to ride with another person. And she was trying to get me to get off the elevator. I'm like, the hell with you. I don't care who you are.
So what happened?
She rode up on the elevator with me.
Yeah, that's right.
And stayed as far away as she could.
Hiding in the corner.
Yeah, which, you know, hey, I mean, I know I scare people, but geez, I mean, you want to talk about pretentious. But anyway.
Kiss and Tell, Whitney Houston's longtime best friend, Robin Crawford, is now saying what apparently everyone in Whitney's world knew. She had a physical relationship with her. So Whitney, she swang both ways. Robin, who wrote a book recently called A Song for You, My Life with Whitney Houston, says she met a then 16-year-old Houston in 1980 at a summer camp, and their friendship quickly turned physical and romantic. It started with a kiss, and then eventually went on to sleeping together. Robin says,
how did it end up like this?
She says it wasn't planned, it just happened, and over the next 2 years, Whitney told her they had to stop seeing each other as she felt it would sink her music career. On top of that, Robin says there was family pressure. And here's what's crazy is Robin says Whitney wanted to keep things on the down low, yet people who they spoke to said she often flaunted her relationship with Robin in public. They were full on making out in a lobby in a hotel in Paris. So Whitney told her that her own mother, a gospel singer, had issues with them being together, saying it wasn't natural. And of course, she eventually married Bobby Brown. And,
yeah, how'd that work out for her?
Not great. Not great, and then she died. So yeah. That makes it even worse, really, than having a not super healthy relationship.
Being alive
that involves
much
crack
better,
cocaine,
yeah, much better than being dead.
But yeah, that's where they got. Let's see, what else do we want to get into? What are my favorites? Oh, did you see? There's going to be a new Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse 2. Sequel might feature one of the character's weirdest incarnations. And it says, a lot of people said that it was one of the best Spider-Man movies made. I thought it was good.
I wasn't blown away by it, but I thought it was good for a cartoon.
But apparently there's like a Japanese Spider-Man that is written into, or is going to be written into the film. So there's a new Spider-Man in town.
We didn't have enough in the last one.
Yeah, I hope they get rid of the pig Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's so unnecessary.
That was an homage to The Simpsons, I think.
I guess, but it's just unnecessary to me. But the story is there's going to be a new Spider Into the Spider-Verse, which I thought was a pretty good movie. I normally don't like cartoons.
Yeah, me either.
But they did a good job with that. It was an interesting movie. And that, Fred, is Hoffman on Hollywood.
All right. Sorry, I stole your thunder.
You stole my thunder. That's all right.
Oh, well, it's already Thursday.
That's right.
That's the one.
This is great news.
It's the one positive to.
There's football tonight.
Yeah, being half awake for a couple of days is that, hey, it's already Thursday.
And I'll be honest. I know, like, on paper, it's Raiders Chargers, and everybody's like, oh, crap game. I'm kind of interested in the game tonight. I think it'll be a good game.
I agree. And I
think we can learn something about these teams. Like, I don't know. Most people probably haven't watched much Raiders football. They're fun to watch.
Yeah.
They're good. At least offensively, they're good. Defensively,
That's another reason why I'm starting to wonder, starting to get a better feeling about these Texans, because that was not an easy game for them to win.
Nope.
And you know, Carr has turned into a pretty solid quarterback. Well, he's always been a solid quarterback, but I think he's finally figuring it out with John Gruden. And, you know, I'm real interested to see how they do tonight, because I feel like they can win this game. And I do think this is almost an elimination match for somebody playoff-wise. And And not that it's impossible if you lose here. You can reel off a bunch in a row and maybe make a wild card. But I think it'll be hard for whoever loses this game.
Yes, Derek Carr has completed 71% of his passes, 13 touchdowns, 4 picks. But is he better than Xavier Suofilo? I still think it's up in the air.
I don't know. He's a better blocker than Suofilo.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? 71% completion percentage for Carr.
It's nuts. Well, I mean, a lot of it's the way they do that offense.
They've got
to
figure it out. Good for them.
We're done. So I hope everybody has an awesome night tonight. Good job, Aaron. Good job, AJ. I didn't suck, but I wasn't very good. But we'll try it again tomorrow. Till then, stay sporty, bitches.